appreciate that prayer, Brother Terry. I do count it a great privilege to stand before you this afternoon. I feel very much in need of your prayers. I've had thoughts that's kind of gone in a lot of different places today and last night. And I was very, very thankful when Brother John drove up at Union Church and when he went into the stand and the Lord blessed him. And I was thinking I don't know where I would go if I had been called on. And of course, when you have a visiting brother there, it's just a great relief as a minister to have him with us. And the Lord truly blessed him to preach from the Psalms, and just was able to sit and feed, and that was a great, great blessing. I had that occur also on Wednesday night. Got online very, very nervous, thinking I was going to be most likely called on, and I was just had almost tried to work things so I wouldn't, so I wouldn't log on because I was that nervous about things, and I tried to do it and couldn't. It didn't work. My plan, I found the Lord just told me you're gonna have to change that plan. You need to be online. And so kind of felt like, well, I'm online. I'm may have to be called upon. And then Brother Eddie, although felt, I believe, strongly impressed to take the time, and boy, it was a blessing just to hear his preaching and be able to sit there. And then I was just really so glad that I got to be on there and was able to hear him. I was thinking maybe we might have Brother Jason or Brother Forrest show up this afternoon, and I kind of was hoping that would be the case, but I'm looking around. I don't see them, so I'm going to make the best effort that I can to try to speak to you in the name of the Lord. I know that if I've ever preached the gospel, it's by the grace of God that I've done it. And the Lord, who is able to bless me at any point, is able today to bless me if we just simply look to Him. I also know that if we don't look to Him, we won't have what we need. And that's not only true for me as a minister, it's true for you as a member, as one of His little children, sitting under the sound of the gospel. We need the blessing of the Lord in order to preach. So please pray for me as we look at a portion of Scripture together. I'm going to call your attention to that which is on my mind. I heard one of our brethren say one time, I have to preach what's on my mind. I can't preach what's not on my mind. So he said, Dad, and I felt that was a very good statement. So I'm praying that the Lord would just be with us for a little while as we look at this passage of Scripture found in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I want to read from chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Probably will refer to the latter part of chapter 4 as well. But we'll try to follow the leadership of the Lord to the best of our ability. Again, I need your prayers. It's wonderful to read from the Word of God together and know that we're not reading just from any old book. We're reading from God's inspired Word that's been given to us by inspiration of God. And we know that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would be fully, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we know that we have the Word of God before us. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. If you go read on in this chapter, you'll read on about the things that are instruction in righteousness to God's little children that are given to us in the Word of God, about the things we ought to be doing, the things we ought to be participating in, the things we ought to put in the forefront of our lives because of what the Lord has done for us. And we may look at some of those depending on how we feel led this afternoon. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And what he had written unto them was about the second coming of the Lord. And that was a very important thing for God's little children to keep in our minds. Something we want to remember. Something you've heard over and over again. Something you've been taught. Something you've learned through the preaching of the gospel. And yet, it's something that we often don't go each and every day thinking about. We go through our lives and we kind of think about this is coming up and that's coming up and this is going to happen or that's going to happen. We make plans. Some of them are short term. Some of those a little more long term. But here's a promise that's been given us in God's Word that you and I ought to live every day of our life looking for, because it is sure that we do not know the day or the hour of the Lord's return. Men have often thought that they did and had it figured out. Sometimes men think they can go through, even in the Scripture, and find out the day or the hour. But the Bible itself tells us that no man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return. That's why he says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And so you can imagine, as he has taught them about the second coming of the Lord, one of the questions would be, well, when's this going to happen? When's this going to occur? And what he had told them about was a wonderful, wonderful thing that we don't want to forget. I know you've heard this many, many times. He says, I would not, verse 13, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He's talking to the little children of God. He says, concerning them which are asleep. Now, he's not talking about those who are physically asleep. He's talking about those who are dead, whose body is in the ground, those who passed on, those whose soul is left and spirit has left their body and they're present with the Lord. But their body's asleep and is left behind. And he's telling them, I don't want you to be troubled about those that have died. Isn't that something good to know? That we don't have to be troubled about those that have passed on. I don't worry about my dad like I did at one time. When he was here back in 2020, I worried about him quite a bit. 2019, for many years there, a lot of worry, a lot of concern. But since Dad's gone, and he's to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, he's often told many congregations, he's not in trouble anymore. Don't have to worry about Dad. He's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Can I say that to you as God's little children? Those that we've had in our congregation, those that we walk with, those mamas, those daddies that you've loved along the way, you don't have to be worried about them. They're not troubled. You and I in this world full of trouble. We're in this world that's full of cancer and disease and all kinds of problems, but they're dementia, all kinds of things that rob people of their joy of life. But I want you to know God's little children, those He loved and bought and paid for, and we saw the evidence in them when they lived that they were His children. We saw that evidence. What we saw was the fruit of the Spirit in their lives that told us they were His children. And at the moment of death for one of His little children, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that good news? to know that they're not in the ground, that cold ground, that body's in the ground. It's going back to the dust. It was taken from the dust, and to the dust it is going to return. But I'm telling you, the Lord bought and paid for not only their soul and not only their spirit, which is with Him, but He bought and paid for their body. And He's going to come again and gather that body home. And there's going to be a reuniting of the soul and the spirit that is now in heaven with the body that's here on earth. And that's going to happen when the Lord comes. And it's going to happen in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And it's going to happen not in secret, like some people say. He's going to come here and secretly rapture folks away, and nobody's going to know what's going on. I'm telling you, when the Lord comes, there's going to be the voice of the archangel, which I believe is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how He's going to do it, but I believe all around the globe instantaneously we'll see Him in the air. And He says it here, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, in this good news concerning them which are asleep. There's some concern that we might have if we don't understand. I know some folks that are awful concerned. I know some folks that are even thinking that those that have gone on, maybe they didn't get everything right, so we'll go over here and pray enough and get them right, or we'll get them out of purgatory or whatever place they might think they are, and we'll be able to pray them into heaven or do this. I want you to know that the security of God's little children was sure, and Jesus died on the cross and paid the sin debt. You know how sure heaven is for each one of His children? Just as sure as Jesus died and rose again. And when He was seated on the right hand of the Father, we were in Him before the foundation of the world. When He died on the cross, we were in Him. When He went to the grave, we were in Him. And when He came forward from the grave, resurrected, we were in Him. And as He sits in heaven, positionally, we are as secure as if we are there. Now sometimes we don't feel that. That's why you need preaching. Sometimes we don't understand that. We get concerned about that. Sometimes we worry about it. But I want you to know all that worry, just like Thomas's doubt didn't change anything about the truth. All of Gary's worry doesn't change the truth at all. And all of your worry doesn't change the truth. So the question is, why do I worry? Why am I concerned? Because I got this old flesh to contend with. And I need to keep fighting the good fight of faith and keep this old body and this old flesh under subjection. Do you feel that today? Well, I hope you do, because it's the truth. No matter who you are, how secure you might feel about things. Brethren, we've got a battle that goes on, the spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. And the Galatian letter says that you cannot do the things that you would because of that warfare. Now here's the good news. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have the victory in the Lord. There is no victory outside of Jesus. There is no salvation outside of Jesus. There is no deliverance outside of Jesus. There's no hope outside of Jesus. There's no light outside of Jesus. There's no strength outside of Jesus. He is not only the one who's going to bring about the resurrection. He told them of the day that He came on the scene with Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus. He said, I am the resurrection. They said, I know He's going to rise again on the resurrection. They believed, Old Testament folks believed about the resurrection. And I'm telling you, the reason the resurrection is a reality is because the resurrection, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life, He came here into this world and He did everything that was necessary so that you and I don't have to question, is there going to be a resurrection? Is there going to be a return of the Savior? Is He really coming again? I said to you, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, absolutely so. That is in the Spirit. And I want us to feel that today. And I want to remember that today. I want to remember that as I'm walking in this world. I want to remember that as I'm facing whatever's coming as far as surgery or anything else. I want to remember it as I'm living my life. That I'm not alone in this world. That He loved me before the foundation of the world enough that He sent His only begotten Son who died for me, who went to the grave for me, and who rose again for me. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Y'all believe that? Hope so. It's the truth. And we can trust and lean upon Him. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Why? That ye sorrow not. That's a good thing to come. You know, some folks want you get to when you get to church, they want to make you sorrow. They want to make you scared. They want to scare you to death. Make you as uncomfortable as they can. Oh, Old Baptist a church is not a place that we should ever go to get uncomfortable. I don't mean that there isn't times that we might become somewhat uncomfortable because we're sitting in the wrong place and we're thinking the wrong thing and we're doing the wrong thing and the Word of God comes, and sometimes it comes in a chastening way, doesn't it? Sometimes you do get a bit uncomfortable, but that's a good kind of uncomfortable. That's real comfort. When you're in the wrong place and you need to be brought into the right place, it's good to get uncomfortable for a little season so that you can sit down and be comfortable in the Lord and in what He would have you to do. I'm telling you, this is the house of comfort. It's a house of peace. It's a house of joy. And the gospel shouldn't scare people into doing anything. It ought to cause you to love Him so much because of His great love for you. Has He been good to you? Has He shown you that which you do not deserve? Has He allowed you to understand and know things that you would have never had a clue about? If that is so, do we not deserve does He not deserve everything that I can say in the Lord to the Lord in the way of praise Thy name? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Set apart above every other name. Sanctified in my heart and in my mind and in my thoughts. And He says, He goes on and He says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and this "if" is not a conditional thing that says this happens if this happens. No, this is "if" just as sure. What it's saying is, just as sure as we believe that Jesus had died and rose again. You believe that today, don't you? That Jesus died and that He rose again. Do you believe that? He's saying, if you believe that, then this is just as sure. You see the lesson? He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, that's where the "if" is. Not conditional. Sure, yes, Jesus died and He rose again. And if you believe that, just as sure as that is so, even so something. That's what it says. See it? He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, that means just as sure, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That means just as sure as Jesus is in heaven, His people will be in heaven. Who are His people? The people He foreknew, according to Romans 8:29. The people that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. The people that He effectually calls through the new birth. The people that He justified when He died on the tree of the cross. And all of them, from the beginning to the end of that, all of them will be glorified and be with Him body, soul, and spirit one sweet day when the Lord appears again in the air. And it'll happen instantaneously. How quick? The Bible says in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. That's not a wink of the eye. How quick is an eye twinkle? I don't know. An eye blinks pretty quick. But a twinkling of an eye is that fast. You say, how can that be? I'm telling you, the one who made this world and spoke it into existence, the one who created the stars that are in the sky and holds them there by His power, the one who put that sun in the sky today and brought it across the sky, and the one who puts that beautiful moon. I walk with my little Piper Jane and we go on a walk, and I get every opportunity I can. We're walking away and I see that moon. Sometimes in the daytime it'll be right up in the sky, and I'll say, Piper, what is that up in the sky? And she said, that's the moon. I said, who put that moon up there, Piper? She said, God. I said, thank the Lord. Now I've added on, I said, and who's God's son? And she said, Jesus. I said, thank the Lord. I said, and we pray, and who loves us? Who is the one who sent His only begotten Son? And that one who sent His only begotten Son, He's coming again. He's come again. And just as sure as that sun was up in the sky and is up in the sky, just as sure as the stars are out at night, just as sure as His creation, I'm telling you, what He has done is sure. He is an unchangeable, immutable, all-powerful, sovereign God, and there's nothing that can hinder Him or stay His hand. Why are we afraid? Oh, brethren, let's trust in Him. Let's lean upon Him. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, just that sure, them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now, is Apostle Paul giving us his opinion here? No. Is Apostle Paul giving us his idea here? No. Is Apostle Paul just sharing with us something he made up from somewhere else? No. He's delivering unto us what was delivered unto him. Isn't that good? When you read the Bible, you're not reading some ideas written by a bunch of men who lived a long time ago, whose ideas are no better or worse than any other man that ever lived. I'm telling you, you're reading what the Lord wrote by inspiration and gave to them. We're reading the Word of God. And I'll tell you, as you look at His Word and you try it and you put it in place in your life, you'll see that it's the Word of God, because His Word always works. Just prove it. Just put it in place. Just read what it says and do what it says. You'll be ashamed when we fail to do it, but you'll never be ashamed when you listen to the Lord and do what He says. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Old Saul thought, well, I got a little better idea about that than what you told me, Lord. You told me to wipe out the Amalekites. I don't think we need to do that. I think we can keep some of these sheep. We'll use them. I'm telling you, what it cost Saul was a great deal. Because of his disobedience, he was rejected from being king, and he lost some great blessings in his life. Have we not at times, because we failed to listen to him, because we failed to follow him, lost some blessings along the way? I say to you, we have. I say, God forbid, let us not lose. Let us trust Him. Let us lean on Him. Let us take what He says in His Word and believe it and live by it. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So this is not Paul's opinion. It's the word of the Lord. And what the word of the Lord says, there's going to be a people alive and remaining when the Lord returns. That could be you and me. That could be you and me today. That could be you and me this week. Could be you and me next month. We don't know when that's coming. You know, that's why it says, but of the times and of the seasons, I don't need to write unto you, because ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That means when the world doesn't have a clue that it's going to happen, when they're not thinking about it, when they're not concerned about it, when they're going along living just like time's going to be forever and this world will never stop, and they're going on in that way, we as God's children ought to be different than that. Because you and I ought to be looking not only for tonight, but right now. Wouldn't it be good if it came right now? Oh, that'll tell you about your spiritual condition pretty quick. Sometimes I'll think, well, yeah, it would kind of be good, but I got, you know, there's a few things that I kind of would like to have. I like this straightened out. I like to be able to get that. I like to, you know, when you're thinking right, your mind just says, yes, even so, come quickly, Lord. Now, you know when I feel that the most? When I'm in a real good meeting and the preaching is coming in power and demonstration of the Spirit, and I'm sitting on the bench or in the pulpit and I can feel His presence, and then I don't worry about anything else or anyone else. It's just me and the Lord and having the sweet peace and fellowship. That's enjoying the kingdom. Righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And you get beside yourself, don't you? you know, you might even do a little shouting in that kind of situation. You might, yeah, you might say an amen real loud. You might even hoop and holler a little bit. You know, and what's happened is sometimes we do what the scripture here tells us and we quench the spirit rather than walking in the spirit and wonder why I don't have the joy and the peace and the rest when I really ought to be praying. Lord, when I don't cry, give me some tears so I can feel thee. Lord, when I don't feel like shouting, cause me to be stirred up so I want to shout and praise thy name and give thee the glory and the honor. When going to church becomes a burden and I feel like I really have to go but I don't really want to go, Lord, cause me to feel differently so I can't hardly wait to get there and I'm not so anxious to leave. I just want to be there. I want to sit with my brethren. And then when you're thinking that way, all the good news of Him returning seems so wonderful and so good. Could it happen right now? I remember as a little boy, couldn't wait till Christmas. You know, I couldn't wait till Christmas. Now, there came a time we didn't celebrate Christmas, but during the time we did celebrate Christmas, and I was a little boy, I remember just waiting and thinking, oh boy, Christmas Day is coming. I'll tell you something better than Christmas Day is going to happen in this world. Something better than any thought of that. And Christmas, when it's in its right place, is to remember the birth and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not about a single day. It's about when the Lord came and what He did and what He came to do. And I'm telling you, when He comes again, what a glorious day it's going to be. Oh, we're going to, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be made and fashioned like unto Him. It says this, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Does that sound like a secret to you? Doesn't to me. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Oh, there's going to be a sounding out. The King is returning. The King is coming. He's going to gather up His kingdom. He's going to get all of His children. And there's going to be a gathering in the sky of those that are alive and remain. They're going to be changed in the moment and a twinkling of an eye. And those that are in the grave are going to come forth. And there's going to be a judgment and the resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And we are going to hear from His mouth, come ye blessed of my Father, and heard the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that's the judgment that you and I will hear. Listen, some say, well, we'll have to stand and give an account and give an answer for all the things that we've done wrong. What would we say if that would be the case? I'm telling you what Jesus did, how He's bought and paid for. Our sins have been removed from us. How far? As far as the east is from the west. And they're going to be remembered ever again? No, they'll never be remembered again. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that those sins that would have separated you and I from God forever have been removed from us because of our Savior and what He died and paid for on the cross. He bought and paid for us. And He'll have everything that He paid for. He says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Can you see it? I remember old brother one time in the pulpit up here talking about some folks say, well, there's going to be people banging into one another. There's going to be all kinds of confusion when the resurrection happens. All those bodies coming up at one time and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How could they all do that? And it's not going to be a traffic jam. He made a little picture. He said, you know what? I think of that every time I see a group of birds flying out. And you see the field sometimes. And the birds will come up, black birds or whatever they might be. And they come up and they start moving this way. And they start moving that way. And better than this, folks, this shows you some of God's design. Have you ever noticed they don't bump into each other? When one goes, they all go. And it's like, boom, boom. It's like one old creature. Who does that? You think they trained themselves to do that? Did they go to bird flying school to do that? No, I'm telling you, the Lord. And that's how God works. And when God's little children, it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like that. You say you believe that? Yes. I believe He made this world in 6 days, don't you? I believe on the seventh day he rested because he finished the work. I believe he's the one who, it's by his power that all things consist. It's not hard to believe that the Lord who made this world out of nothing can take these bodies and glorify them and form and fashion them like unto his own glorious body, and will be forever with the Lord, and it won't take him a long time to do it. He can do it with the word of his power. We don't have a little God. We don't have a weak God. We don't have a pleading, begging God. We have a God who speaks and it stands fast. We got a God of power. He says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he comes in with that wonderful lesson. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with Him in heaven. He's going to take the kingdom home. We're going home. And then He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why do we have these words? Why do we know about this? So that we might be comforted. I need some comfort, don't you? In a world full of trouble. I need to know what the Lord has done. I need to understand what He is doing. I need to understand what He yet will do, and what a deliverer we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, he says in verse 1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That is the wicked of this world. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. There's going to be a judgment. And the Lord's going to cast those that are not His into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And it's a place of torment that will last forever and ever without end. It's a frightful thought to even think about. But I'm telling you, that's what I would have, and that's what you would have, were it not for what the Lord did for us. But because of what He did, He said, come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, the world's not going to be looking for His return, but you and I ought to be looking. I ought to be looking. I ought to live every day looking. I'll live better if I look for Him every day. I'll walk better, talk better, act better, behave better, treat my wife better, be a better father, be a better grandfather, be a better pastor, be a better student of the Word. I'll be more involved praying and looking to Him if I remember He's coming. He's coming. When I forget about Him coming, I get wrapped up in the world, don't I? And the next thing you know, I forget. The Lord's not. I feel like I get in trouble. But when I remember He's coming, I'll tell you, no matter what happens, He's coming. Whatever news comes, remember He's coming. And He says this. He says, but ye brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. How did we get to be the children of light? We were dead in trespasses and in sins, and He came. And ye who were sometimes darkness, He tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, because of what He's done for us, let us not sleep. That means God's little children can go to sleep. That means we can become inactive. It means we can forget about these things and in the sense of not remembering them and keeping them in the forefront of our minds. And we can do that as others do. Many of God's children, we do it. And sometimes others of God's children do it. And we should encourage one another. Y'all encourage me. Wake up, brother. Remember He's coming. Remember His promises. Remember what He has said. Don't forget these things. And we need to remind one another over and over of these things. For they, He says, but let us who are of the day Let me get verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. To be sober is when you're thinking clearly. You know, when you're drunk, you don't think clearly. But when you're sober, you're thinking clearly. At least you ought to. Thinking clearly, and you have spiritual understanding. I'm thinking of things spiritually. And I make good decisions when I'm sober. When I'm drunk, I don't make good decisions. I'm not thinking about things spiritually. And drunk isn't just taking some intoxicating beverage, some alcoholic beverage and using it, or some drug and using it. You can get drunk on the things of this world. You can get so wrapped up in the world and the problems of this world that you can become intoxicated with it where you can't get it off your mind. You ever had a problem so overwhelm you that you just couldn't get it off your mind? When that's there, you don't think clearly. When you remember the Lord's going to return, yes, you have your problems and you have your troubles and you have some worries, but if the Lord's going to return, it's going to be okay, because when the Lord's coming, when the Lord returns, it's all going to be straightened out. And though I've got them, He's going to help me from here to there. We believe that, don't we? He's going to help us in the midst of our troubles. He says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. That means we're to wear the faith that God has given us. That means you put it on. It's the breastplate of righteousness that He's given to you to wear, and the whole armor of God. It's like an armor all wrapped around you, so that when the old devil comes throwing his fiery attacks, or the world comes at you, you've got the faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, which allows you to look to the Lord and lean upon the Lord and trust in the Lord. And you're to put that on. And Romans tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what you're putting on. I'm trusting in Him. I'm leaning upon Him. I want to put on that breastplate of faith. And then the breastplate, it's the same breastplate. It's made up of faith and it's made up of love. And then the helmet we put on is the hope of salvation. Oh, how wonderful is faith, how wonderful is love, and how wonderful is hope. What would our lives be without faith, hope, and love? What would it be? If we have those things, they are the fruit of the Spirit, and we're to wear them. We're to adorn them. We're to put them on in our lives. He goes on in verse 9. And says, for God had not appointed us to wrath. Isn't that good news today? God has not appointed us to wrath. But He has appointed us to something. And here it is. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that we're saved? By the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Sometimes we're on track and we're wide awake, but sometimes we fall asleep. Some people might say, well, if you fall asleep, it's going to be too late for you. You're going to miss Him. I'm telling you, if He died for you, whether you wake or sleep, the Scripture says we're going to live together with Him because of what Jesus did and because of His finished work. Verse 11, he says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. That means we come together. What do we talk about? What Jesus has done for us. We talk about believing in Him and trusting in Him. When we get hit by the storms of life, we put on the breastplate of faith and the breastplate of love. We remember how much the Lord has loved us and how we ought to love Him in return and love the Lord's people. We remember that it's He who has given us the ability to trust in Him. So we trust in Him and lean upon Him. In the middle of the storm, even when we've asked and it doesn't seem that He's answering, He answers in His own time, right on time, every time. As we look to Him, He said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, and He will supply just what we need when we need it. And He gives us the faith that enables us to believe it. So we ought to put on that faith and we ought to put on that love, and that's how we fight the battle. We put on that hope of salvation where we're trusting in Him and Him alone, and it's like a helmet for our head. as we go into the problems and troubles and difficulties of life. And then we find comfort. We comfort yourselves together. That's what we do as we meet here. We sing songs that comfort one another. We say words of encouragement to comfort one another. We pray for one another. We look to the Lord together. We intercede for one another. And we look to the Lord who is able to supply exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify. That means to build up, edify one another. I want to build you up. Not so you get puffed up, but so that you're strong in the midst of the battle. Even as also ye do. Notice that he's saying to them, you keep on doing what you're doing in that sense. Now there's sometimes the scripture will tell us to stop doing what we're doing and turn and go another way. But when you're trusting in the Lord, you keep on trusting. When you're loving the Lord as he's loved you to the best of your ability, you keep on doing it. When you put on that hope of salvation, and my hope is in him, he is my hope, you keep on doing that. You keep on leaning on him and you keep looking up. Because your redemption's drawing nigh. It's closer today than it's ever been. What a day it'll be when the Lord returns. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. I appreciate your kind attention.
About 568. 568.